Today's daf is Ksubis daf Tezayin, and we are about to start the second parak of Maseches Ksubis, parak Ha'isha Shenis Armala. We did Besula Nisseis, and now we are starting the second, all the way until we get to the third parak on daf Chavtes, Elunaris. Every parak here is another world, another meaty world. And the beginning of this parak, though, is really connected to the previous parak in terms of the Bari and the Shemas and the Machlokos between the husband and the wife. So here we go. Ha'isha shenis armala o shenis garsha, a woman who became a widow or became divorced. And Rashi quotes, there is no ksuba, the ksuba was lost. And the machlokas is, what happens now that it's not about what happened to her in the middle, before or after, but the question is, what happened to her before she was married? What state was she in at the time of the wedding? So he omeres b'sula nisatani. She says, well, I was a psula when we got married, right? It was many years ago. There's no video to watch. Or maybe there is a video. But either way, she says, I was a psula, and therefore my ksuba should be 200. V'hu omer, and he says, Rashi points out a devar pashut, but it's important to note, anisgarsha koi, right? He's only there if she's not a widow. It's going on the Nisgarsha, right? If it was Nisambala, then he's not going to be claiming it's going to be his kids. But Vahu Omer Lo Ki Ella Almana Nisatich. He says, no, you were a widow when I married you, and your ksuba should only be 100. So it's a machlokes, 200 or 100. So what is the halacha? So, im yesh edim she yatzas behinuma, if there are edim that she went out with a certain type of head covering that was only worn by basulos, yatzas behinuma, virosha parua, and her head was parua. What does parua mean? Some type of uncovered, Rashi says, sara al-ktefeha, right, her hair was on her shoulders, so then that's what a psula did. So then, ksubasa masayim, if there are witnesses that support her, so then that's it, she wins. That is the halacha of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer af chilik klayos raya. Chilik klayos, if they remember, if there are witnesses that they gave out nuts at the wedding, that's also a raya that she was a psula, because that was also something that was only done at a wedding of a psula. What's the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? Says the Shita Mekubetzes, even something that's not a davar shebagufa, nothing to do with her, has to do with the wedding itself. So that also is another variety, and that could be, says the Shita Machlokas, between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The Rambam here in the Pirush of Mishnayos says that it's not a Machlokas, it's just different items to testify about, but that is the two Shitas in the Mishnah. Ask the Rashba, why don't we have a simpler type of raya? Ask the Rashba, why isn't there a raya that she got married? And the Ritva also, why isn't there a raya on the day she got married? Right? We just spent a lot of time in the first parak. Sula Nisis, the Yom Aviv, Yalmana, the Yom HaChamishi. And why don't we have a raya? Like, what day? Check the wedding invitation. When the wedding was. She got married on Wednesday, you know she was a psula. Married on Thursday, you know she was an almana. So the Ritva says, maybe there was a time, as we learned in the first parak, that they weren't always focused on and following that minhag. Right, we said if there was a time when the Bat Edinim didn't sit at that time. And number two, it could be that they weren't as medactic in this grad. It wasn't Almana wasn't didn't care so much to be mafsid the bracha element, and therefore there is no specific raya in that way to bring rayas about what day the wedding took place. Okay, there is an important issue though brought up on this Mishnah, and that is about covering the hair at a wedding. It seems clear from the Mishnah that by a psula wedding, she was yatzas behinim of rosha parua. Her hair was somewhat uncovered. And Rashi even says, Rashi's lashon is sara al ktafeha, which sounds like, doesn't say that the hair was totally uncovered, but there was some hair out. Something more than we're going to learn about by the Shema Daf Ayin Beis, which is the source and shas for a married woman covering her hair. So we'll have to get to that, but Rashi says, Sarak Tafera. So there is a big discussion in the poskim. What is the halacha about a woman, again, an unmarried woman does not have to cover her hair. There is a chumra of the Rambam in terms of braiding one's hair, but Rebbe Yashiv says right here in the Mishnah that the minug is not like the Rambam, and there are rayas against the Rambam. Fine, but what about a married woman? So we know there's a halacha, that a married woman has to cover her hair, and we know that from the psukim in Parshas Naso by an isha sota. So when does that chiyuv start? When does that chiyuv start? So you would say, okay, well, she's married. Okay, she's married, but the minhag in most circles is for a woman not to be covering her hair at her wedding. Even though she's married already, after she leaves the chuppah, and especially after she leaves the yichud room, according to Ashkenazic custom, who have the yichud room right after the chuppah, so why doesn't she have to cover her hair yet? So some say, oh, well, she's covering it a little bit. She has the item that the article of clothing that the kalas wear that holds up the veil on her head. So that's some type of covering, yeah, but it's not a full covering that's required by halacha. So what is the halacha? So there are some poskim. There, I would say, in the minority in the minhag world, that say that in a chidami, that a woman after the yichud room, and that's why, you know, even before the wedding, whatever it is, if she's not going to want to have to change the head covering during the wedding, it should be covered. It should be covered. That is what Rav Shlomo Zalman was quoted as saying in Va'aleha Lo Yibol. So that is not written by Rav Shlomo Zalman. It was a Talmud. It's controversial in terms of it's being put out. It's more of stories and conversations that a Talmud had with Rav Shlomo Zalman, but again, it's a wealth of information. So he writes there in Chelik Aleph, Hayim kala tzricha l'chasos es saroseha achrei achupa v'yacheder yichud midin ser b'isha erva. So what is the halacha? So even before you get to Rav Shlomo Zalman, I should have started it. There's just shita mekubetzes here. That's the key makar in our Mishnah. The shita says in the name of likute gaonim, the shita mekubetzes says, V'hai di amrina nufara es rosh ha'isha. V'tana d'ver b'yishmoel. Mikan. Asar l'bnoz yisrosh lo yatsu puri rosh. What the Gemara says later on at Dafayim Beis, that a woman has to have her hair covered. Ikala me'mar b'nesuos kamairi. That's only by nesuos. An arusa does not have to have her hair covered. It's beferish. Beferish yidu b'kubat says that an arusa does not have to have her hair covered. So, the question, and then, fine. So then, and then you have Rashi here that says that, oh, the hair was on her shoulders, which is not mamish uncovered, but it's somewhat uncovered. So what about Nisua? What about after the chuppah? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, well, look in the Mishnah Berurah. What does the Mishnah Berurah say? The Mishnah Berurah argues on the Shita Mekubetzes. The Mishnah Berurah says that Narusa also has to have her hair covered. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, there are two places in Shulchan Aruch where a woman's covering her hair, the halacha comes up, in Eved Ezer, and in Aruch Chaim in Hilchos Kriyas Shema. So there in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, in Siman Ayin Hey, Ubisulos Arusos Asuros Lelech Begili Rosh, quoting Rabbi Akiva Eiger. According to Akiva Eiger, that's the Mishnah Berurah. But again, it's against the Shita Mekubetzes here. And others say also, Rav Avadia and Teshuva says that the Pashas is against that, Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Right? I like the Shita Mekubetzes. So the question is, what about a Nesua? Find an Arusa, there's a Machlokas HaBoskim. What about a Nesua? So a married woman has to cover her hair. So when does that start? So Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't say that you have to. He just says, there's no Makar Mefurish to be Mekel. Ain in the language that's written here. Ain makar mafurish lahakel. Mikal makam zui uvda shemekilin bazeh. It's a reality. We are makal vafilu anashim yirei shemayim noagin lahakel bazeh. But there are many, even yirei shemayim, that are makal in this regard. Lamaskana amr lanu arav, says of Shlomo Zalman, shemakala maskima lachasos esaroseh azehachi tov linog, avalot tzorech lasos machlokes bishvil zeh. And he was, then he quotes, meaning Rav Shlomo Zalman basically said, I'm not changing the minhag, but it might be better too. He didn't put his foot down. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman. If you look at the Rav Avadia says, well, it depends on the minhag. In the minhag in Sephardic, this is in Yechaveh Das, Simin Samach Beis, in the minhag in Sephardic circles, where they have the yichud only later, basically after the wedding, so the whole wedding you're fine. They didn't have yichud yet, and many poskim hold, like we saw on Daf Beis, what is chuppah, yichud roi labia, like the Rambam says, so she's not fully married yet. So it's not a problem. But according to Achenu Ashkenazim, that have the Yichud right after the Chuppah, so that she's basically fully Nesua, she's fully married, so Mistama, she would have to, says Rav Avadia, to cover. L'fim ha-shenogim yotze Ashkenaz, sh'achasen v'akala misyachadim miyad, l'achar ha-sheva brachis, sh'tachas ha-chuppah, al'akala l'chazuz es roshem miyad, l'achar tzeisa miyacheder Yichud. So that's what he paskins. Again, the minhag olam is not that way. The minhag olam is to assume that even though there is yichud, it's a din of ba'ula. It's not a din of nesua to cover for a woman to cover her hair. And therefore, even though there is yichud, but the status of ba'ula really doesn't start. Even though that's enough for chuppah, it's not enough for to consider her ba'ula. And that is the minhag. But again, there are poskim that hold otherwise, as we just saw what it is based on. okay. So that is the Mishnah. Let us continue now. Says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah. Third to last line. Umo de Rabbi Yeshua. After we have the first half of the Mishnah about whether she was a psula, whether she was an almana, umoda, and Rabbi Yeshua is moda, and we're not sure exactly what he's moda to, because the second half of the Mishnah seems to have nothing to do with the first half of the Mishnah. Moda Rabbi Yeshua, ba'omer lechaveiro, sada zu shelavicha haisa, this field is your father's, was your father's, ulekachtia haymanu, I bought it from him, shehu ne'eman. Sounds like two people are having an argument about who owns this field. One of them says, it's my field. And the other one says, well, it was your father's, but he sold it to me. So what is the halacha? This person that says that, that admits to that, is believed. Why is this person believed? Right? Because he could have just said nothing. This person, the other person, does not have any raya that the field belongs to him or had belonged to his father. And this person is out of the goodness of his heart is admitting. So what is that principle called? Here it is. Sha'apesha asar hu'apesha hitir. Which is one of the major principles discussed on the first couple of daf here in this parak. The one, the mouth, literally, that asers is the one that's matir. That is a principle that whose source is in Hilchas Isser V'Heter. Right here it's being used in Dini Mamonis. So it's a Lashon Mush'al. Right, it's not literally, there's no Isser here. But we know we're going to have later on in a couple of daf from now the concept of Pesha Asur Pesha Hitir, which the classic case is, a woman comes to the city and says, hi, I'm divorced, so I'm on the market. Well, we didn't even know she was married in the first place. So she's the one, instead of, she could have just said she's single. But instead she says, I was married, but now I'm divorced. So we say, well, she could have just said that she was single. So HaPesha Aser, the one who asered, who created her status of Eishes Ish, Hu HaPesha Hiter, that is, she is also the one who has the power to undo that status. So that principle is used outside of Isser V'Heter to just mean that, well, they're the one that started the problem, so therefore they could solve the problem also. And we'll see on Daf Chav Beis that this is even based on a Svara. It's not even based on a pasuk, it's based on a svara, which Beis Hashem will talk about then. Sha'apesa asar hu hapeh shehitir. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says in this case, where he could have just denied the whole thing, it's my land. The fact that he said, yes, it was your father's, but he sold it to me, he is believed. Ha'apesa asar hu hapeh shehitir. What is Rabbi Yeshua responding to? Mode Rabbi Yeshua. That's unclear. What does that have to do with the first half of the Mishnah? So we'll have to see in the Gemara how the Gemara works this out. There is a major discussion in the Rishonim. How does this principle of Pesha Aser, Pesha Hitir, link and fit in with the principle of Migu? With the principle of Migu, which we had already in the first parak. We had, and the Gemara is going to call it a Migu later on today's daf. So is this just a form of Migu? We already had Migu. Migu, you could have said a better claim, so you're believed by the worst claim that you said. So is Pesha Aser, Pesha Hitir just a form of Migu? Is that what it is? That's what Rashi seems to say. Bali Tosfos in a few places in this parak seem to say, I'm sorry, that's what Bali Tosfos seem to say, that it's a form of Migu. Rashi does not say that. Rashi does not link explicitly the principles. You see the top Rashi on our daf. Shapes Asar. Rashi doesn't say Migu. Rashi just says, Ze eini yodea shahaisa shal aviv. Ela alpiv shal ze umasha asar hare hitir. Pesha Aser is a different type of principle, which means they're the source of all information. So we believe them. Nothing to do with, oh, they could have tied in a better claim. No. If they're the source of information, then we trust them being the source. You know, even if they add on. And there could be nafkaminas between the two different principles of Migu and Pesha Aser, right? Are you allowed to give an excuse? You know, later on, what if you're undo what you said, you know, 2 days later, not right after Tokate Dibur? So is that allowed? That might be a difference between Migu and Pesha Aser. That is a discussion in the Rishonim, whether those two principles overlap or they are very different principles. There is, could be showing signs of the distinction. Tosis, Yibamaschal Modeh, on the bottom of the previous Amud. What's the case of the Mishnah? What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that Modeh of Yeshua, where a person says to his friend, this field was your father's, but I bought it. Did the friend come over to him first? It's not mentioned in the Mishnah. The conversation in the Mishnah starts off by the person who has the field is admitting that it was bought by the father. But did the person come and claim, was there a Toveya here? The Mishnah doesn't say a word. Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Whether there was a Toveya. Tosfos says, Mitov Pirish Akuntrish Mashma, Dafka Kishain Halatovo. It sounds like from Rashi that only because there is no Toveya, that is why this person is believed. But the ne'eman b'migu di ba'ishasek, he could have just kept quiet. Aval im tovo eino ne'eman. But if there would be a tove, if somebody would come and say, that's my land, and then he started the conversation, so then he wouldn't be believed. And Tosfos says, I disagree. Tosfos is saying, even if there was a tove, the tove didn't have any rayas, Tosfos says, veino nira. He says, no, I think, even if there is a toveya, Doc Tani Seifa, because the next line, which we didn't even read yet, discusses if there are Eidim. Let's just read the last line of the Mishnah for a second. Vim yesh Eidim shehi shel aviv. What if there are witnesses that it belonged to the father before, and then v'hu amar lakach tiyeh menu, eino ne'eman. That he's not ne'eman if he doesn't have a shtar that shows that he bought it from the father. So Tosfos says, who's bringing the witnesses? Obviously, there's a Tovea there that's bringing the witnesses. Back to the Tosfos. Avalim ein edim afagadala tovo. Ne'eman migu di'iboy omar lo haisa shalavicha me'olam. There's already Tosfos doesn't make a big statement about it, but he seems to be mixing the principles of Migu and Pesha Asar. Migu works against the Tovea if the Tovea doesn't have any rayas. But he says, if his reading in Rashi is correct, Rashi is saying, if there's a Tvia, so then you don't say that there's a Ne'emanis there. Why? Because this isn't Migu. This is, well, he's the source of the information. But if there's a Tovea, then he's not the source of the information purely, and therefore, maybe it wouldn't work. This machlokas is pointed out by the Achronim, Rav Elchanan in the Kovet Shiurim in Os Mem Gimel discusses this, and Os Mem Mem Zayin discusses whether how do you look at this principle of Pesha Asar. Let me just read you his lashon. He says Tali beikar atam dachdina de Pesha Asar. This is the chakira. Dim humitam migu. If Pesha Asar is just a form of migu, that you could have said something. You could have said a better claim. Lo mahani la'achar k'dei divur. So then it shouldn't work. Migu only works if you say something now. It's not going to work 2 days later if you come and give an excuse. De migu l'mafreya lo amrinan. Avali neima de enemita migu eladina achrinahu. But if you say it's a different type of din, de kivat shalo ne'esar ela alpiv. Ne'eman lahatiro. Because all the source of the information is from you, so we believe you, that even 2 days later you can add on. So there, in that case, right, there's no kulas and chumras. If that's the case, so then, if you say it's a different din, you'll be more mako to allow after k'dei dibur. But in Tosfos is nafkamina, if there's a toveh, it'll be worse. So sometimes it'll be worse, sometimes it'll be better, right, depending on if it's a different din. Just to note, the fact that the Gemara and the Mishnah uses that lashon and doesn't say migu might point in the direction of there being two principles. But there are Gemaras, like we're going to have Hashem today, that seem to link them also. He says, it's clear from Tosfos, he says, throughout our parak, like we just read, that it's a form of migu, but if you look in Rashi and other Rishonim, it is not so clear. So that's an important machlokas to be aware of, and if there are any halachic differences, obviously, between the two principles, so then that already tips us off that they are different. Good. One other point that the Shach brings up in Klalei Migu, he just wonders, he says, in this case, you see, Migu is believed, and he's able to hold on to the land. This is a question in the postgame, Migu Lahotzi. Migu usually defends what I have. Do we say Migu Lahotzi Mamon? That's a discussion, and the Shach just wonders how you define this case. Right, he says a migu to be machzik the land that he has. So is that migu lahachzik or is that migu lahotzi? When it comes to movable items, it's easy. Who's holding the item? By karka, it's a little more difficult to determine. So he just brings that up in Klali Migu, how you define this case, whether this is a raya that you say migu lahotzi or not. Okay, let's get into the Gemara. Says the Gemara Taima Diika Edim. So back to the first half of the Mishnah, right, where there's a machlokas, the husband and the wife, what she was at the time of the wedding. Was she a besula? Was she an almana? And the husband says she was an almana. The woman says she was a besula. But if there are witnesses, what happened at the wedding? She was yatzis behinuma. She was, they threw nuts. So then, it is a raya that she was a besula. So taima di'ika edim. The only reason that we would trust her is because there are edim. Haleka edim baal mehemet. It's clear from the Mishnah that if there wouldn't be witnesses that she was a besula, the husband would be believed. Only to have to pay 100. So ask the Gemara, lema tzanan, stoma, deloka, rabbi gamliel. So, right, so let's say, remember, this is This is connecting to the end of the previous parak. It's a good question. Why isn't this Mishnah, you know, in the end of the previous parak? But not for now. So why don't is this Mishnah against Rebbe Gamliel? Dear Rebbe Gamliel, ha'amar ihi mehemna. Right. We spent a lot of time on four or five Mishnayos in the end of that parak that says that the woman is believed. So here the woman is not believed. Karon, unless there are witnesses. So is this Mishnah against Rebbe Gamliel? The answer is no. Afilu, meaning, here you don't say she has a cheskas aguf. Rebbe Gamliel always went by her cheskas aguf. And here we say no. We say maybe she was an amana already. So the Gemara said no. Afilu tamer Rebbe Gamliel. The Mishnah could even be according to Rebbe Gamliel because our Mishnah is, she is in a weaker state. Why? Over there, in the previous perek, she was always sure of the status. She knows exactly what happened, and he has no idea. So it's Bari Veshema, that's why she wins. Aval Hacha Bibari Vibari Lo Amar. But here the husband knows what she was. They discussed it. He remembers the wedding. So therefore, she does not have the upper hand here. It's Bari Vibari. And therefore, what wins? So if there are Edim, there are Edim. But if not, Cheskas Mamon wins. It's clear. Cheskas Mamon, therefore, would beat out the Cheskas Aguf, right? Because he would win over her. The Ritva notes here, he just wonders, if you say, it's clear from this Mishnah that even according to Rebbe Gamliel, Cheskas Mamon beats out Cheskas Aguf, so why does the Gemara in the previous parak have to bring in an added Chazaka? Chazaka ain Adam Torech Besuda Umafsida. A person is not going to make a whole meal and then cut and lie. So we're going to assume he's telling the truth. Forget that Chazaka. You see from this Mishnah that even Rebbe Gamliel holds that Cheskas Aguf loses to Cheskas Mamon. He's holding the money. He gets the key. His Muchza, Kamotsu Mechaber Lavaraya, beats her Cheskas Aguf that she was a psula when she was born. Right? So what do you need that extra Chazaka for? So the Ritva says no, because there's an added thing on her side too. Her side, as the Gemara is going to say, that most women get married when they're psulos. So she has a rove on her side. So that's why you have a couple of different factors that have to play out. It's not purely this chazaka versus that chazaka. You know, the Gemara always has to add in more factors. That's the Ritva Sahara here. So the Gemara is going to say it. So the Gemara says, now, utakari la maikari la, habari vabari hu. What was even the havamina? Of course this Mishnah is different than the previous Mishnayos. This is bari vabari. What was the Gemara thinking to say that this is, Rabbi Gamliel does not agree? So the Gemara says, "Kiven the rove nashim besulos nisos," as we just said. Well, since most women are besulos when they get married, kibari v'shema dami. It has the power, havamina, of a bari v'shema. You're right, bari v'bari. But maybe because there's a rove against this husband's claim, most women are besulos when they get married. So therefore, we might have thought to treat it like a case of bari v'shema. Kamash malan, we don't. The Gemara also says it makes sense that our Mishnah is even according to Rabbi Gamliel. It makes sense. Why? From the Seifa. Mitaktani umode Rabbi Yeshua. From the fact that the second half of the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yeshua admits. So who does Rabbi Yeshua admit to? It must be his bar pluktis, Rabbi Gamliel. Right? We have many, many stories throughout Shas about Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Right, and this is one month, right? We have all the machlokos here. So, if Rabbi Yeshua is moda in the Seifa, who must be talking in the Reisha? So, e amrit bishlama, iri Rabbi Gamliel bimoda shapir. If you say the Reisha is reflecting Rabbi Gamliel's opinion, and the Mishnah is telling us that Rabbi Gamliel also agrees by a case of bari v'bari, so then it's fine. The first line of the Mishnah is saying moda Rabbi Gamliel in this case, and the second half of the Mishnah is saying moda Rabbi Yeshua in this case. Ela'i amrit lo ayri Rebbe Gamliel b'mode. But if you say that the first part of the Mishnah is not reflecting Rebbe Gamliel's opinion, meaning it's like the Havamina, so Rebbe Yeshua l'man mode. So who's Rebbe Yeshua being mode to? If it's not his bar plukta, Rebbe Gamliel, so what's the language of mode Rebbe Yeshua? So that's the raya that our Reisha must be talking about, even l'shitas Rebbe Gamliel. And the Gemara just says that might not be so true. That might not be such a raya. Mi savrish Rabbi Yeshua ahai pirkin koi. Who says, you know, it's a little bit, not clear in the way it was formulated, but who says that Rabbi Yeshua has to be being moda to the previous lines? Right? That's what he's referring to. Amigu koi, via pirkin kama koi. Maybe he's referring to one of the Mishnayos in the first parak. And there was just a little break. There was a break of the first few lines of our Mishnah, but really when it says moda Rabbi Yeshua, he's referring back to the first lines to a previous case. So the Gemara says, okay, which previous case might Rabbi Yeshua be being moded to? Even just before, just we do that, I just forgot to mention, wanted to mention the Rambam's Psak. The Rambam Paskins here in Hilchas Ishus, in Perek Tezayin, the Rambam Paskins, we mentioned, who do we Paskin like in the previous Perek, Rabbi Gamliel? And the Rambam Paskins like our Mishnah. So it's clear the Rambam holds, like the Maskana of our Gemara, that Modeh is Modeh Rabbi Gamliel. But the Rambam adds in one line. The Rambam says, "He omeres besula niseti ve'ikar k'subasi masayim." Right? She says, "I get 200." Va'abal o yarshav omrim beula nases ve'ein la elamea. You only get 100. So im yesh edim sherau sheasula hamin hagos shenahagu anshe osa ha'ir la'asosan lebesula. If there are edim that the minhagim of whatever is done by sula was done, kigon mine simcha o kesarim o malbush yadua. O shar dvarim sheinosin kach ela lepsula, right, whatever the minog is, there are things that are done by a psula. So harizu nutelas masayim v'im ein lo edim bazeh harizu nutelas mana. So far, so good. The Rambam didn't add anything, but then the Rambam says v'im haya habal kayam. If the husband's alive, we were talking about a case of divorced. If the husband's alive, yesh la lahashbio shvuas haTorah shahari hoda b'miksas hataina. The Baal is being moded b'miksas here. Like we said, we discussed this a couple of days ago, right? The wife is saying, you owe me 200. The husband is saying, you owe me 100. There's no shtar here, right? There's no half that he cannot agree to. But it's a takanis chachamim. But says the Rambam here, moded b'miksas. Moded b'miksas atayin. And therefore, the Gemara doesn't say that. But the Rambam throws that in. One of the three shvuah d'araisas, as we know, the Rambam says, you have to take a shvuah d'araisa. Says the Ravid, Amar Avram, Shvuas HaTorah ain't kan. It's wrong. There is no Shvuas HaTorah here. Why? What's Ksuba defined as? Shaharei Kfiras Shibud Karkaos Hu. Ksuba is leaned based on the karka that the husband has. And we know the rule is you don't make a Shvua related to Shibud Karka. Only to Shibud Metaltalin. And here, it's karka. That is the security of the ksuba, and therefore the Ravid says, that's what the Gemara doesn't mention, it's not a case of modeh miksas, there wouldn't be a shvua. Says the Magid Mishnah, Vani Omer, that the Rambam's right, defending the Rambam. Why? There's a takanas hagaonim. Takanas hagaonim is mentioned by all the Rishonim. Even though the Gemara says, karka is what's meshubit to the ksuba, the takanas hagaonim is that even metaltalin. V'ani omer she'ein zukushia terkiva shagaonim tiknu shetikva ksuba ben metaltalin chazra ksuba she'ein akfir shibit karkos bilvad. And therefore there could be a shvu on it, which ends up being a very interesting shayla. If you have something that theoretically, inherently, is a shibud karka, but chazal enacted that you could also collect it from metaltalin. So do you make a shvu on that? What does shvuah go by? The real definition or the lamaisa collection ability? Right, that's the machlokas here between the Rambam and the Ravid. But that's an important detail that the Gemara does not mention. The Rambam says here the husband is going to be making a shvuah smodim miksas, a shvuah daraisa in this case. Okay, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says that it could be that Rabbi Yeshua, when he's modeh, is really relating to the first perek, one of the cases there. And if that's true, then we have to figure out what's the difference between those cases where Rabbi Yeshua argues and this case where he's modeh that she would be believed because she has some type of miku. So here we go. Says the Gemara right in the middle. Ahai. So which Mishnah is the modeh referring to? So Ilei Maho. Maybe it's referring to the following. We're going to go through every Mishnah until we get to the right one. Maybe it's going on the one at the end. Haisamu beres va'amru la mativa shelo berzu. Remember the case. She was pregnant. And they say, well, who were you with? And she says, Me ish ploni v'kominu, from this kosher person, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar Omer Mnei Menes, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Lo mi pia anu chayin, there's the machlokas there, and Yeshua does not believe her. So the Gemara says, Hasa, my migu ika. So over there, Rabbi Yeshua says that she is not believed. Well, what's her migu? Right? What does our Mishnah say? Rabbi Yeshua admits by this migu. So there's got to be a case of migu there that he does not agree to, and this one he does agree to. But there, she has no better claim. Hari kresa bein shineha, right? Literally, right? Her stomach's between her teeth. She's pregnant, and she can't say lo nivalti. There is no migu there. By the way, you see that Gemara uses the term migu, even though we're relating it to the Mishnah of Pesha Asar. So maybe that's where Tosfos got it from, because we're overlapping the principles. So El Ahot, let's try again. The previous part of that Mishnah. Ra'u amidaberes imechad. They see that she is talking to somebody. Va'amru lamativa shalishzu. Ish ploni v'koinu v'gliyav v'bazorun emen. That's Rabbi Shua Omer. Lo mipianu chayin. So that case. So hasa my migu ika. So what's the migu in that case? Well, that's half. Okay. Ha'nicha l'ze'iri. Remember we discussed this. According to Ze'iri, who said? Da'amar my midaberes nistera. Midaberes just means the Edom only know about Yichud. They don't know about anything more. So then, there's a Migu. Migu di ba'i amra lo nivalti. She could have said nothing happened in the Yichud. Lo nivalti. Vika amra nivalti. And she says, I was niveles. And it was to a kasher. So that's a Migu. So that would work. Because Rabbi Yeshua would be saying, I don't hold of that Migu, but I hold of this Migu, which we still haven't differentiated why there would be a difference. But all we need to figure out first is that there is a Migu. So Mehemna, that would be okay. El Rav Asi to Omar, my Midaberes Niveles. But if you say Midaberes is just a nice way of saying Niveles, my Migu Ika, again, there's no Migu there. So Ella, Vela Ho. So let's keep going back. Going back to earlier. Which would be, it's going to be the Maskana, but it's still somewhat strange that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wrote this Modeh in a misleading way in this parak when it's referring back to the previous parak. Okay. So, Ve'ela Aho. He omeres mukadetz ani. Where she says, I was injured. Ve'hu omer lo ki ela drusas isha. No, you were niv'eles. So, Rabbi Gabriel, Rabbi Lazar, omer ne'emenes. Rabbi Yeshua omer lo mi pianu chayin. So again, there too, hasa my migu ika. What's the migu? It will work out according to at least one of the shitos. Bishlam al Rabbi Elazar, da amar bimana velo klum. According to Rabbi Elazar, who says, what's the machlokas between the husband and the wife? She says 100. He says 0. So there, it's a migu. Why? Migu di bai amar mukas eitz ani tachtecha. She could have said, I was injured after Erisin. Meaning at the time of Erisin, when the chiv of ksuba kicked in, I was still a psula. I had a full psulim, so 200, the Islam asayim, the ka'amra me'ikar, and she instead says it happened before Eris, the delesla elamana mehemna. So she has the migu that she could have said, mukatz eitz, tachtecha. But she didn't. El Reb Yochanan to Amar b'masayim umana, but according to Reb Yochanan, who said the machlokas there, between the husband and wife is 200, 100, which is the last time we spoke about Modeh b'miksas. The Ritva on that Mishnah said, why isn't there Modeh b'miksas there? So my migu ika, so what's the migu? So we said, okay, fine. Last case. Ela aha. The last case that we could talk about, here it is. The first case mentioned there. Hanosias ha'isha v'lo matzal ha'psulim. The classic case. Gets married, no psulim. He omeres b'sheras tani ne'enasti. V'nestach v'sadeu. She says, sorry, I was ne'enas after Erisin. At the time of Erisin, I was a psula. And it's tough luck on you. Nestach v'sadeu. V'hu omer lo ki ela achlo erastach. No, it happened before Erisin. So, Rabbi Leo, Rabbi Lozer, Omer, Mne, Menes, Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Lomi, Pia, Anu, Chayin. So, what's the Migu there? Rashi quoted this on that Mishnah. De Migu, de Iboy, Omer, Mucha, Zeta, Nitachtecha, de Loka, Pasla, Nafsha, Mikahuna. She could have said, I was injured. Which would then allow her, if her husband would die afterwards, she could still marry a Kohen. V'ka'amra ne'enasti, and she says ne'enasti, the kapasla nafshemikuna, which passels her, b'shemachi kamer v'gamliel, de mehemna. That's the migu that we have earlier, and why Rabbi Gamliel says she is ne'emenes. And that's what our Mishnah is referring to. V'kamer Rabbi Yeshua, the Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel Yeshua says in our Mishnah, Bahai migu dahacha modina lacha. On this migu in our Mishnah, by the case of the sale, that migu that he could have said it's my land, he admits that it was his father's and he bought it. So, but this migu modina lacha. B'yahu migu dahasam paligne ilavech. Right, but I argue on the previous case. Baruch Hashem. We figured out which case Rabbi Yeshua is modeh to. We just haven't figured out the svaras. Why should there be a distinction? Over there there's a migu, over here there's a migu. So what could the Gemara have answered? Well, let's do the Gemara, and then we'll talk about it. So, michti hai migu v'hai migu. Maishna hai migu me hai migu. What's the difference? Says Rav Elchanan. This really sounds like Tosfos. Right, the Gemara is saying, what's the difference between the cases? It's both the same. Our Mishnah used the Lashon of Peshansar. That's not migu. The Gemara calls it migu. So of course, it's a mefurish like Tosfos. Says Rav Elchanan, maybe that's exactly the answer of the Gemara. Maybe the answer of the Gemara should be understood as, no, 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 this is a different concept. What's the answer of the Gemara? Says the Gemara, hacha ein shar shachut lefanecha, hasam hare shar shachut lefanecha. What does that mean? Here there's no ox that's shechted in front of you, and there is an ox. Obviously, that's the language of a mashal. What does that mean? So Rashi explains. Tosfos has a different shot. We'll just go with Rashi's shot. Rashi says, well, if he wouldn't have said, this is where Tosfos understood from Rashi that there is no toveya, from this line of Ein Shor. Over here, you know why we believe him? Because he started the whole process. He's the one that comes. There's nobody going to him. He comes and says, you know what? This piece of land used to be your father's, but I bought it from him. So he's the one that started everything. So if that's the case, that's why I believe him here. That's why that works. Over there, the husband didn't find psulim. He came to Besdin and says, I didn't find psulim. So we're going to say she has a migu? No. Meaning, that might mean, according to Rashi, over there it's a migu. Over here, it's peshasar, and there is no toveya, and that's why it works. Right? Over here, Rashi says, klomer, im shasak zelo haylo orim. There's no one complaining. So he didn't have to say a word. Mashekin, over there, hey messi tu, lavola Besdin. And even though she has a better taina, but Rabbi Yeshua says, I don't think that's strong enough. I don't think it's strong enough in this case to be motzi mamon. So that hava mina maskana might gufa be where Rashi and Tosfos got their shitos from. Okay, so this is a crucial discussion. Baruch Hashem, now we understand what the Mishnah is referring to, which case and why Rabbi Yeshua is machalik. So now we go back to the Mishnah. Question on the Mishnah. The kiv under rov nashim besulos nisos kilasu loasu edim mai havi. Based on what we said before, why isn't she believed in this case? She has a rov on her side. Most women, only if there's a raya that she got married as a psula, she has a rov on her side. Why isn't she believed? There's a machlokas here. Who is this question according to? Tosfos, the little Tosfos, bottom Tosfos, refers to a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Which machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? The Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara there quotes, I sold you an ox. And the ox is a crazy ox. And you come to me and say, I want my money back. And I say, well, I thought you were buying it to shecht, to eat. I didn't know you wanted it to plow. And therefore, I'm not giving the money back. And he says, no, I want my money back. I bought it to plow. And it's a crazy ox. So what's the halacha? Is that a mechach tos or not? That's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, but basra tzadi beis in the beginning of the sixth parak. So the Gemara says, "Hamocher shor lo chaver v'nimsa nakhon." Rav Amar, it's a mekachtos. Shmuel says, "Yochel lomer lo l'shchita machartiv l'cha." Why does Rav say it's a mekachtos? Because most animals are sold for plowing, and Rav says you go by the majority. Shmuel says, "Ein holchin b'mamo nachaharov." You don't follow the majority by the dini mamonis, and therefore, even though there's only a minority that buys it for eating, that's why the mocher could say, that's why I sold it to you. So it's a machlokas Rav Shmuel. We, by the way, referred to this yesterday when we spoke about the Mordechai and Reb Chaim that the Tosfos discusses, you know, if you don't go after the rope by Mamonis, you surely shouldn't go after the rope by Nefashis. Exactly, we have to kill somebody. And that was the answer of Tosfos, that by the rove of Bezin is the meat is Kamisha Eno. That was the discussion yesterday. But Tosfos here says, our Gemara asking, well, she should be believed because of the rove, that's going only according to Rav, who says you follow the rope by Dinim Amenis. But according to Shmuel, you would say not. Right? That's Tosfos' one line. L'Rav Parach the Islay Hochen B'mamo Nachar Rov. If you look at the Tosfos Yeshanim right on the side, Tosfos Yeshanim argues. He says, no, Efshar Da'afilu L'Shmuel Havilan L'Mezal Basar Ruba. Maybe even according to Shmuel, you should go after the Rov V'lo Basar Cheskas Mamon. And not after Cheskas Mamon. And he quoted this is the Tosfos Yeshanim. If you look in Tosfos above a comma daf gimel, Tosfos says a beferish there too. Tosfos says maybe that rove that Shmuel is talking about is a weaker type of rove, and that's why Shmuel says in holchen mamonachar rove. But in other cases, maybe he would agree holchen mamonachar rove. What's the difference between the roves? Why, in the case of the plowing, is that a weak rove? So the Shev Shmaitza, based on the Ramban, the Ritva, and Kiddushin, says, well, there's different types of roves. What's the rove of that most people sell for plowing? That's a rove based on people's behavior. People's behavior are always subject to change. So most people buy oxen for this, so most people can buy oxen for that. The way that people act, so that's always subject to change. That's why that's a weak rove, and that's why over there Shmuel says, Ein Halkan Mamanachar Rove. But what's this type of rove? Most women get married besulos? That's not going to change. That's kind of like a Ruba Delesa, come on. It's not a rove that's in front of us. Well, they're both rove the last couple months. But that's a rove that's more something in nature, not as much in terms of people's behavior. And that's why this one might be a stronger rove, and that's why the Gemara might even be asking according to Shmuel. Okay, so Machlokas Rishonim. So the Gemara answers, why don't we go by the rove? Amar Avina, Mishum Deikala Meimar. Because say the following, rove Nasha Besulas Nesos. You're right. There's a rove on her side, Umiyut Almanos. V'chal Hanises Besula Yesh Lakol. But there's also an element that whenever a Besula gets married, there's a special call that goes out. There's a special public calling. Vizu, ho, vein lakol, Israel aruba. This rove has been weakened because there was no call. There was no call. They have no evidence of a call, and that's why her rove is weak. Says the Gemara. Really? Anyone who gets married psula has a kol? E kolan is a psula yeshla kol, ki asu eid my havis. Then when there are witnesses that she went out with a hinuma, or with the nuts, so hanachsat shakri ninu. If every single woman has a kol, when she's a psula, so then basically you're telling me that the witnesses are liars, because there was no kol and they're still bringing, riyas. So how do you believe them in the Seifa? So, Ela Amar Ravina, no, it doesn't mean all. Rove Hadnisos Psula Yesh Lakol. So there's a rove women get married Psulos. Rove of the time, Psulos have a kol. And Vizu, Halve, in Lakol, Israel Aruba. And this woman's rove has gotten weakened because there is usually a kol, when a Psula gets married. Okay. Next. Im Yesh Edim Shiatsas Behinu Mavachulu. So, what the second line of the Mishnah say? If there are witnesses that she went out with a special head covering of a psula, so then they could testify that she is a psula. I ask the Gemara, this is pretty dangerous. Why? She doesn't have a ksuba, right? The Mishnah said the ksuba was lost. V'lechush dilma mafki edim b'hai bedina v'gavya. Maybe she's going to bring these witnesses that know she's a psula in this bezin and collect the ksuba. And they go to the next town over and do the same thing. Right? Why aren't we nervous that if we allow the woman to collect ksuba based on the witnesses, that she's not going to collect twice? Two answers. Amar Rabbi Avahu, Zoso Meres Kosvin Shovar. First answer is that, well, you give the husband a receipt. You give the husband a receipt that he paid the ksuba, so she can't recollect. And even though it's now up to him to guard the shofar, if he loses it, it's his fault. Halacha says, you're right, it's his responsibility, and he has to hold on to it. Rav Papa Amar, no. Rav Papa says, really, if it's a case where there might be a chance of that, then we would not allow her to collect. But b'makam shein kosin ksuba askinan. We're talking about a case where there is no ksuba written, and therefore what? Rashi, Rav Papa Amar, la'olamein kosvin. You don't write a shovar. Denimsa zetzorach lishmar shovar minachmarim. We don't want to force the husband to have to hold on to it. Umishiesh lo shtar achavero oyav yishtar v'yachzirenu olo yital klum. If you don't have a shtar that says your own money, you can't collect. Because we're not going to make the one who is chayiv to pay, hold on to a receipt. And the Mishnah is talking about a case where there is no ksuba written, you just rely on the Tnai Bezdin. So we're not worried, we're not worried that she's going to take the ksuba out somewhere else, because there is no ksuba. There is no ksuba. So therefore, we're not going to allow her to collect unless she has some type of a strong raya. That is version one of the Gemara. Rabbi Avo and Rav Papa commenting on our Mishnah. The Iki de Mazila Braisa. And some have the exact same conversation on the following Braisa. The Braisa says, if da ksubasa, if a woman lost her ksuba, hits mina ksubasa, or she hit it. Nisrafa ksubasa, it was burned. Ruk, the Shima Kubetsas go through what the chiddush of each one is. Ruk du lefaneha, they danced in front of her, like a psula. Sachku lefaneha, haviru lefaneha koshel besora. There was a certain type of ceremony that they did after the wedding that shows that she was a psula. O mapa shel psulim. So in all these cases, im yesh, if she has a wit, she has edim about any of these elements that prove she's a psula, ksubasa masayim. So that's the brisa, same kind of idea as our Mishnah. But we have the same conversation. Now, v'leichos dima mafka edim b'hai bezin v'gavya, v'demafka l'ksubasa b'hai bezin v'gavya ba. Why aren't we worried she's going to collect twice? Amri arbi avos, osameris, kosvin shover. Answer one, Rav Papa Amr, b'makam jen kosvin ksubas kinan. Fine. So before we analyze, the Gemara just asks a little detail. Ivdak subasaktani. What do you mean that we're worried she's going to take it out? It says she destroyed it. Ivda. So the Gemara says, dekasav la ihu. No, it doesn't say that ivdak subasa. He wrote. Kasav la ihu means that he wrote her. I'm sorry. The question is on Rav Papa. Rav Papa says in a place where there is no ksuba written, but it says her ksuba was lost. Obviously there was one. So, the Kasav La'iyu, no, yeah, you're right. It's a place where they're not written, but he had written her one there. Sof, sof. Okay, so Lamai said, if he wrote her one, Mafka Lavagavyaba. So he's gonna, why aren't we worried? How could Rav Papa say, oh, it's a place, she ain't kosav ksuba. But he wrote one for her. So, my ivda ivda ba'or. What does ivda mean? It was burned. So Gemara says, Yachi hainu nisrafa. So that's the exact same line as nisrafa. So, oh, and also, hitmina ma'ika lamemar. So, hitmina, it's the same halacha then. That hitmina, we should have the worry. She hit it. Maybe she's going to take it out. Visu ibdalamali. And also explains the ritva. This last question. Even if you want to say that in the previous part of the brisa, nisrafa is an explanation of ivda, so why do we repeat ivda here? So, Ella, what's happening here? This is what the Brisa really means to say. Kol ivda ki hitmina befaneinu dami. If the ksuba is at all lost, we have to treat it as if it was hidden by her. And v'lo yahavinama, and we won't give her the ksuba. Ad amri edem nisrafa ksubasa, until the edem say it was burnt. So that's how you read all these phrases in the Mishnah, that if it was lost, we treat it as if it was hidden, unless there were edem that it was burnt. That's how we work out what the brisa means. But now we have two conversations. We have Rabbi Yavo and Rav Papa commenting on the Mishnah, and commenting on the brisa. So says the Gemara, Ma de Masni la Abraisa, according to the one who has this conversation on the Braisa, Kol Shekhin HaMasisa would also have it on the Mishnah, where there is evidence. Al Ma de Masni la Masisan, but if you have it on the Mishnah, Aval Abraisa lo, on the Braisa, you might not have it, Kikushi, because of all these last problems that we had interpreting the Braisa, and we came up with a Dachuk understanding, but that is the conversation wouldn't take place on the Brisa. They would only have it on the Mishnah. The Nesivos in Siman Nun Daled discusses this Mishnah. He has the following case. The Shulchan Aruch says, Habala Farachova, right in Hava. Somebody wants to get paid back a loan. Va'amar Hamalven. The Malva says, I lost the shtar. Avad li hashtar. Ein halove yachalomar. The love, we paskin, cannot say, I'm not paying you until you give me a shtar. But what do we paskin? Elahareza yichtov lo shovar. We paskin kosvin shovar. The Shulchan Aruch says, he has to pay. If he admits that there was a loan, that he's chayef, he has to pay. And we give him a receipt. He has to guard the receipt. Kosvin lo shovar. V'yifr lo kol chovo. V'yesh the lo v'lahachrim stam al misha kovish shtar. He's allowed to curse anyone who withholds the shtar and says that it was lost. He's allowed to make that chayrim. Okay, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Nesivos. The Nesivos quotes our Gemara, quotes this machlokas about kosvin shovar or not. V'ikas disir alei de'in kosvin shovar. V'davka shemei v'yedim v'chulu. And he discusses, again, we're not going to get into it now, but he discusses, Tamuali, he says, it's a wonder why this case is any different than a case of a mashkon. If a person gave a mashkon, then for sure you have to, and the person says, I'm sorry, I lost your mashkon, I lost your collateral. Then for sure you have to pay back. But if you lost the shtar, there's a machlokas. So the Nesivos here is machalik, the status of a shtar and the status of a mashkon. Which one is a stronger lien, so to speak? If I have something that is yours, a mashkon, is that stronger or weaker? The shtar is like, all your nechasim are meshubit to me. So that's his discussion here. You're going to look it up in Siman Nundal and Os Aleph and the Nesivos about the relationship of a mashkon and a shtar. Hopefully we'll get back to it at some point. Let's first finish up though. Says the Gemara, Miesh Eidim Bechulu, if there are witnesses, again, that certain things took place at the wedding. Beforehand we asked, why aren't we worried she's going to take out the shtar? Here, maybe why aren't we worried that she's going to take out the Eidim again? So, b'makam d'lo efshar, v'adikas v'na shover. You're right. If there's a real chash and there's no other way out, so he's going to have to hold on to the shover that he collected again, because you can't withhold witnesses. If there are witnesses, there's nothing to talk about. Fine. Havir lefana hakosha besora. The Mishnah gave, the Brisa gave one example of proof that she is a besula, that they brought in front of her this like kos of announcements. What is that? My kosha besora. Amar avadamar ava. Kos yayin shel truma ma'avirin lefaneha. By a besula wedding, or after the wedding, they used to carry a cup of truma wine. Klomar, re'uya isazu lecha betruma. As if to say, you know, she didn't have any beer before this, she is right to eat truma. So said the Gemara, Matzah v'ra papa, atu almana mi lochla betruma? What, an almana can't eat truma? If almana was previously married, she can eat truma. She's married as a Kohen. So, el amra papa, what does it mean by truma? Zu racious. Kitruma racious. No, this is the first, her first wedding, she's a psula, like the truma is racious. Tanya in the Brisa also says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chavish shal yayin ma'avir lefanel. A barrel of wine. Barrel of truma wine. Amar avadabar ava, bisula ma'avir lefaneha stuma, bi'ula ma'avir lefaneha psucha. Because it wasn't as, people were more open about their physical, state in the days of the Talmud. Right? We know that from even Hilchas Nida, right? They walked around with white robes during Shiva Nikiyam. So, says Rav Adar Bar Ava, a psula, they pass in front of her a closed barrel of wine, and a b'ula, an open one. Amai, the Gemara says, why? Why do you need both? Never kami b'sula, v'kami b'ula, lo never klau. Why don't you just carry a barrel in front of a psula, and that itself could be a raya? So where it says, no, that's not a raya, because Zimnin, the tafsa masayim, maybe she'll want to take 200, v'yamra, and she'll say, ana b'sula avi, I was a b'sula. V'hai delo avru, kama is nuse hu de is nisu. There was an ones that they didn't get to take the barrel, but really they should have. So that's why, if there's no barrel, there's a chshash of this story made up. So that's why it's better to always have the barrel, and sometimes, right, it's harder for her to say, oh, they couldn't find a closed barrel. No, that one we're not going to know a believer. Okay, we'll have to stop here, Beshem. Tomorrow we start with one of the most famous lines in all of Shas, Ketzad Meraktim Lefnei HaKala, this bottom line on Tezayin Amibes. Okay, we'll stop here.